Aunt? When Uncle Peter Charles Keegan died on December 14, 1931, I, Mildred Smith Gynell, daughter of Dora Keegan Smith and Alman C. Smith, wife of Clifford A. Gynell, was 21 years old. Besides being the brother of my mother's father, John Keegan, he and his wife, Aunt Mary, were also my mother's godparents and the godparents of my sister Dorothy. We always considered them very close relatives. Mother called on them often, and if her health prevented her calling, I or another member of the family was sent to represent her. The family is very proud of Uncle Peter Charles. One of the last times I called on Aunt Mary, she was about 91. She said, "You know, Mildred, I don't go up and down stairs anymore. And that's the reason I've lost that spring in my step." She was a beautiful little lady, very straight and dignified looking. In the early 1900s, Peter Charles Keegan was characterized as the sage of the St. John River Valley in Sprague's Journal of Maine History, 1913-1914. The article went on to say, his ability as a lawyer, publicist, and political leader, his long service in the Maine legislature, and his numerous varied activities generally are very well known to Maine people. Peter Charles Keegan, the name is a slogan whose sharp-cornered syllables explode with the barking staccato of a machine gun. Whether there is a note of old-fashioned honesty in it, a breath of free air and open places, you feel instinctively that here is a man worth tying to. His is a sturdy figure with head set solidly upon a pair of heavy shoulders, a square jaw beneath the overhang of mustache, fire in deep-set black eyes tell of things done and well done. This is all quoted from Sprague's journal. Uncle Peter Charles was born on May 13, 1850 in Van Buren, and he died in Van Buren on December 14, 1931. He was the son of Lucy Dubay Keegan and James Keegan, who came from Ireland and settled in Van Buren in 1827. The father, James Keegan, was a farmer, constable, and registrar of deeds. In 1884, Peter Charles Keegan married Mary Sharkey of Fredericton, New Brunswick. They adopted a son, the late Harold Burchell Keegan. Their comfortable, stately, and gracious home was destroyed by fire in the early 1960s. It stood on a hill, part of the home farm where he was born. Across the road from where our Van Buren Community Hospital is now. From the pine-shadowed veranda, a superb view of the beautiful St. John River and valley opened northward. When he was only 4, he started going to school. It was a very different sort of school from what Van Buren now has. His father and some of the other early settlers decided some sort of an educational institution was needed. From their own pockets, funds for a teacher were provided. When 9 years old, the only school within reach of the Keegan home was across the St. John River in New Brunswick. With his dinner pail, he paddled across in a dugout and walked 2 miles to the schoolhouse, returning the same way at night. 3 years later, the nearest school was 3.5 miles away, and he walked that distance twice a day. At the age of 15, he entered the University of New Brunswick in Fredericton, winning the second highest place in his entrance examination. I hold University of New Brunswick records dated 1867 and 1868, which show that he was awarded the Douglas Gold Medal, offered for the best English essay. He graduated with honors in a class which had among its members a number of men who became eminent in Canadian government affairs. 2 of them were the Honorable George E. Foster, Minister of Commerce of the Dominion at Ottawa, and later a Minister of Finance, and the Honorable William Pugsley, Commissioner of Public Works under the Laurier government. College was followed by a period of law study in the office of William Evans of Port Fairfield, and in 1869 he was admitted to the bar. He practiced law in his native town, Van Buren. Quickly, he realized that there was much work to be done if the region was to develop and the people to prosper. He saw that aid must come from the state. With such thoughts in mind, he became a candidate for the legislature. Among records which I have in my possession are many newspaper clippings regarding my uncle. The earliest clipping I have is an Aroostook Times article dated September 24, 1869. It refers to election returns of the representatives for the Madawaska district. The vote was 447 for Keegan and 432 for Dickey, a majority of 15 for Keegan. Major Dickey of Fort Kent was a popular man, well known in the state capital. An Augusta paper article reads, "There are 2 contested seats in the House to be settled soon, which may excite some interest, one of which may turn out the unseating of the old Democratic war horse of Fort Kent. The Duke of Madawaska," that was of course a reference to Major Dickey, "may be unseated by the young Emperor of Madawaska, a young French lawyer, also a Democrat, who has strong claims for the seat. Uncle Peter Charles was often referred to as a French lawyer because of his mother and because of his representation of French constituents. On February 10, 1870, another Augusta newspaper article I have reads, "The contest between Dickey and Keegan was very spirited and long continued. The debates occupied about 12 hours' time. The vote was reached Thursday, 10th instant, resulting in Keegan's favor." Close quote. It is interesting to note that his support came from the Republicans. Not one Democrat voted for Peter Charles Keegan. He was a liberal and a very progressive Democrat. And of course, Major Dickey had been in the legislature a long time and was very well known in Augusta. Another article says, referring to Uncle Peter Charles, "He was then a member of the House of Representatives for the next 7 consecutive sessions." And that means that he won over Major Dickey a second time. In that period, he was active in promoting the good of Northern Maine. In doing this, he did not lose sight of the good of the rest of the state. He always stood for that which would prove beneficial for the entire state. Early in his career, he became interested in the matter of squatter settlers, as they were called. These were men who had gone into the northern wilderness and settled upon state lands. They had cleared the land, built homes, for the most part they were log cabins, and they were trying to build up the country. The state had sold these lands, and the buyers were seeking to oust the squatters. After years of toil, it meant a terrible hardship to these settlers. It was Peter Charles Keegan's opinion that they were legally entitled to the lands which they had taken up. As a result of his efforts, the Wild Land Commission effected a settlement with the owners of the land, that is, those who had bought from the state. Even after this settlement, though, from 1876 to 1889, there was scarcely a term of court in Worcester in which Uncle Peter Charles did not have from 1 to 12 of these cases to try. Always he fought on the side of a squatter. In 1909, he was named by Governor Cobb as a member of the Van Buren Commission. This was the international commission, consisting of 2 members from the United States and 2 from Canada, named for the purpose of considering and adjusting disputes between the 2 countries relative to the use of the St. John River, where it forms a portion of the boundary between the countries. He was also instrumental in bringing St. Mary's College to Van Buren and in getting the Bangor and Aroostook Railroad for the Valley. He was president of the Van Buren Trust Company for many years. In a Bangor and Aroostook Railroad Company, a publication of 1902, titled In Fair Aroostook. The author, Clarence Pullen, wrote, "The irrepressible energy of the presiding genius of the place, the progressive, the energetic, the genial Peter Charles Kegan, is equal to the overcoming of all obstacles. And at the time of my visit to Van Buren, he was closing the arrangements with a company for the building of waterworks in the town. It is good that Van Buren has an area called Kegan, so that not only history books remind us of this capable, respected man, a devout Catholic who loved and did so much for the valley. May it live up to his expectations. May those who follow him be as ambitious, capable, and successful. Yes, I am proud of my uncle Peter Charles Kegan." My mother was Dora Kegan Smith, daughter of John Kegan, and my father was Almon Charles Smith, son of Thomas Smith of the Hamlin Plantation. Both my father and my mother were born in Hamlin. My mother was a teacher, and one of the stories I was told was that my grandfather Smith was the superintendent of schools in Hamlin.
What was his name?
Well, as
what was his name?
That he was Thomas Smith. He was also a selectman and a constable and the tax collector and the overseer of the poor and the town clerk, as most town officials were in those days. But I was told that he had my mother as a teacher in Hamlin, and when he visited the schools of under him as superintendent, he decided that he wanted my mother for a daughter-in-law, and so he planned that she should meet his son Almon. My mother was only 19 when she married, and my father was 21. An aunt of mine, Mrs. Fred Smith, lived in Grand Isle at the time. She was a Morneau. And she often told me that she remembered seeing my father and mother going by in a buggy, and she was told that they were on their honeymoon. They were on their way to River du Loup and had driven by buggy as far as Edmundston. Others had told me about the beautiful wedding gown that she had. It was white velvet, and it had little strips of fur going down the skirt. I was told she was a beautiful bride. She had red hair, and so did my father at that time. My childhood was a very happy one. We lived at 37 Main Street, next to the family by name of the Fred D. Good family. And they had a daughter who was about my age. She was actually a year younger.
We were very good friends from the very beginning, and we are still good friends. We have been lifelong friends. My mother had been a neighbor of Mrs. Goo's, who was a Aline Hammond when she was young. Mrs. Goo was a much livelier person, one who went out very much more than my mother, and she participated a great deal in politics. I remember that she came to call on my mother at one time, and she said, "Don't you dare, Dora, tell anyone your age, because everyone knows that we are of the same age." She was a wonderful, lively person, very active in the town. She was on the school committee. Mrs. Good was on the school committee at one time. She was the superintendent for a while. She always was the one to put on plays, minstrel shows. She would bring the Chautauqua to town. She would bring outside people to put on plays. The town in those days had the Gaiety Theater, used the Gaiety Theater for its plays. And the town was known to have very good productions. My father had a mill. I remember his bill headings read, "Manufacturer of Dimension Lumber." It was a sawmill, but he did very well with it. I don't remember if my grandfather Smith gave the lot to my father for our home, but he must have, because I heard and I read on a deed that he had reserved the right to for his horse to be stabled in the barn on our lot whenever he came to town. And I remember that he had very lively horses, and I was told that when he would get up to the, from Hamlin up to the top of the hill where Uncle Peter Charles lived, he kept his horses going at a reasonable pace. But when he would hit that top of that hill and would be coming into town, they would really race right into town. He wanted to show everyone that he had lively horses. He came to our house and stayed with us only when he didn't feel well. And he loved my mother. He kept on loving her, always. And I think everyone loved my mother. She was a very gentle lady, very kind, very sweet. And grandfather would come in, and we knew he wasn't feeling well. He would come in and say, "I've come to visit you for a while and to have some of your good soup." He was always given the best room in the house, and we had to tiptoe when he came. I attended the Good Shepherd Convent, later known as the Sacred Heart School. I owe a great deal to my teachers. I was there from the age of 8. My mother had taught me at home before that time. And through high school, I am most grateful to teachers like Sister Aloysius, Sister Rainey, who taught us French, Sister Alfie, who taught me piano, Sister Aloysius I had for 3 years in high school, as I had Sister Sereni. Sister Aloysius was a tiny little lady. She was a great reader, a very knowledgeable person. We would see her coming down the hall with her nose in a book or in a current events newspaper, and we were always afraid that she might stumble and fall down the stairs. She taught us all of the subjects that we had except French in high school, chemistry, biology, as well as English and Latin. My mother had been known to be a good student, much better than I ever was. But I remember some of her old teachers telling me that she could recite the catechism from the beginning to the end, questions and answers. She always had a good memory. She was a good composer, and she had many people in the town who came to her whenever they wanted special letters written, as well as orders to the Sears Roebuck and such business correspondence. She had many students coming to her also, helping them with their compositions. To end this in a speedy way, I want to say that I was very fortunate in my work also. I was out of the University of Maine just a few days when my father went to Mr. Pelty, John V. Pelty's office, to have some legal work done. And Mr. Pelty's secretary was ill. And he told my father he didn't know when he could do the work. So my father said, well, Mildred is home and she can type. Can't she help you? And that way you could do my work for me. So Mr. Pelty said, yes, yes, send her along. The way we went, and that's how I happened to get into town work, town office work. I was trained there to record all the vital statistics, marriages, births, deaths. I was taught how to record chattel mortgages, crop mortgages, homes notes, conditional sales, and I helped at the time to do some of the bookkeeping regarding the town appropriations. From the town office,
I did, I went to work on insurance, in an insurance office, Guy and Bear Met, and as a Van Buren Motor, which was a business concerned with farmers, crop mortgages, and selling of fertilizer, as well as cars and trucks and so forth. Then I went to the Van Buren Trust Company, where I did all kinds of work connected with the bank